السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Tonight's personality is again one of the great leaders, the great female leaders of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this is the second granddaughter to the Prophet and the second daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra alayhim as-salam. And that is Lady Ummi Kalthum bint Amir al-Mu'mineen, and she has another named, historians named her Zainab al-Sughra. Her first sister is Zainab al-Kubra and the second one is Zainab al-Sughra. And then they say the Prophet himself named her Ummi Kalthum, because the Prophet himself, he had a daughter called Ummi Kalthum or Umm Kalthum. And because the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen, this lady, our Umm Kalthum, tonight's lady, resembled her aunt, which was the daughter of the Prophet. So because of her resemblance to her aunt, the Prophet calls this little lady of Ali and Fatima, he calls her Umm Kalthum. And by the way, historians also believe that about three or four daughters of Amir al-Mu'mineen, three or four of them are named Umm Kalthum, or at least nicknamed. So they have a name, but then they have a nickname, which is Umm Kalthum. So the name Umm Kalthum was very popular. Both Zainab and Umm Kalthum was very popular. And if you read the Islamic history, especially the family of the Prophet, his family in Medina, you would never find, rarely you can find a household, a house that does not have these two names. Zainab and Umm Kalthum, the female names, and also Ali and Muhammad, the male names. So the vast majority of their children were named, the male ones were named Muhammad and Ali, and the females were named Zainab and Umm Kalthum, including the Qazwini family. Alhamdulillah, God has gifted us with these two names, Muhammad and Ali. And I suggest to all of you, inshallah, those of you who are married, inshallah, name your children in paradise when you go there. But those who are still not married, your first son Muhammad, the second one Ali. Remember, they bring much blessings, inshallah, into your family. So Umm Kalthum again was born within a few months from her older sister Zainab alayhi salam, in the same year, the sixth year of the Hijrah, 6 years after the migration of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina. And she died in the year 62. So she was about probably 56 years old when she died after the tragedy of Karbala. And apparently Umm Kalthum, because she moved with her husband to Kufa, I mentioned this last night, when Imam Ali became the caliph in Medina, he became the caliph. Few weeks after that, he moved his capital from Medina to Kufa for many reasons. I mentioned these reasons in the past, because Kufa had a centralized location. So Imam Ali wanted to be close to many other countries because the Islamic conquest moved to eastward and westward. So Imam Ali wanted the capital to be in the middle of the Islamic country. So he moved with him his entire family. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, with their wives, with their children. Zainab, Kulthum, with their husbands, with their children. And apparently, like tomorrow, the eve of the 19th of Ramadan, Imam Ali had his last breakfast in the house of this daughter, Lady Kulthum. He had his iftar, his breakfast, in her house, and then he stayed in her house, and from her house he left. When I say house, it's a room, because Imam Ali built a big house, not big, very big, but a house that can bring all his family together. So each one of his children had one room in that house. They shared one room. So from that house, Imam Ali left to the mosque, which is only a few feet away from the house. And when he came back, he was being carried on the shoulders of his children because he was wounded. So he had his iftar in the house of Kulthum, alayhi salam. Now, when it comes to her marriage, there is a controversy in the historic books. Almost the entire Sunni historians believe that Kulthum, the daughter of Ali and Fatima alayhi salam, was married in the year 17th, meaning when she was only 11 years old, to the second caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab. They say she was married to Umar ibn al-Khattab and she had several children, some of them male, some of them are females. But our scholars, the scholars of Ahlul Bayt, especially al-Shaykh al-Mufid and Sayyid al-Murtada, one of the two most important iconic figures in the history of the school of Ahlul Bayt, they refute this idea. They negate this idea. They say it's not a fact. It's not a fact. Kulthum was married to her first cousin, whose name is Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Her sister Zainab, remember last night I said Zainab was married to whom? Abdullah ibn Ja'far, her first cousin. Kulthum was married to Muhammad ibn Ja'far, which is the brother of Abdullah. So two brothers married with two sisters, and this is because the Prophet, peace be upon him, we have been told, when he looked at the children of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the children of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he said, Abna'una libanatina, or banuna libanatina, wa banatina libanuna. So our boys are going to marry our girls, and our girls are going to be married to our boys. So the marriage has to stay within the family, especially between these two brothers, Imam Ali alayhi salam and his brother Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And they followed the instructions and the wish of their grandfather, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she married her first cousin. But in the books of history, which was written by the Sunni scholars, such as الطبقات الكبرى طبقات ابن سعد السنن الكبرى تاريخ ابن الأثير ابن حجر الخطيب البغدادي and so on and so forth, they assert that she was married to the second caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab in the 17th year of Hijra, during the reign of the second caliph, when he was the caliph of the Islamic State. But those two scholars and many others, when they investigate, after careful research and careful investigation of the Islamic history, they find out that the story is baseless. Why? Because this story was narrated by four or five people who were mostly fabricators. They are known in the history of hadith to be wadda'een. Some people call them wadda', some people call them mudallis, kadhab, da'if. Either they are weak, they are not trustworthy in their stories and their narrations. Some of them are Ahmed ibn Abd al-Jabbar. He has been described as wasifa bil kadhib, as a liar. وَرَأَيْتُ أَهْلَ الْعِرَاقِ مُجْمِعِينَ عَلَى ضَعْفِهِ. There was consensus among the Iraqi narrators. Ahlul Iraq means the people of hadith, not just people in the street. The people who are experts in transmitting the hadith, muhaddithin. They had consensus that this man is unreliable. Yunus ibn Bukayr, again, وُصِفَ بِأَنَّهُ ضَعِيفٌ وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُتَثَبَّتَ فِي أَمْرِهِ. He has been described as being a weak narrator, and you have to be careful, you have to examine or double check what he reports. Another one, Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, قال فيه الإمام أحمد بن حنبل. Ahmed ibn Hanbal describes this last guy, Waqi', سب السلف. He insulted the Salaf, the earliest, you know, group of the Sahaba, the companions. وشرب المسكر. And he drank alcohol, muskir. وأفتى بالباطل. And he gave fatwa which is contrary to the truth. Another one, Amr ibn Dinar. He was described as being ضعيف منكر الحديث. He is weak in his transmission, and he reports weird. منكر الحديث means weird narrations, not authentic ones. Another one who narrated this story of the marriage of Umm Kulthum to Umar ibn al-Khattab was Sufyan ibn Aynayh. Sufyan, they said about him, in the beginning he was good, but then فَمَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْ اِخْتَلَطَ سَنَةَ 179. He started to have dementia. Dementia started to forget. In year 197, and then فَمَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْهُ فِي هَذِهِ السَّنَةِ وَبَعْدَهَا فَسَمَاعُهُ لَا شَيْءٍ. If you hear his news and his reports and his hadiths that he reports, after year 197, where he was diagnosed with what? Dementia. Okay? So don't consider what you hear from him. Don't consider. So this story does not stand to the research, to the investigation. It was made up. And it is not something that you cannot comprehend. Imam Ali would not give his daughter who's from his wife Fatima alayhi salam, none other than Fatima al-Zahra, to the second caliph. He would not do that. But the story was made to bring, you know, to say that things are normal, nothing happened, and those two groups were always working with each other, and there was intermarriages between them. So this was the reason for that story. But she married her first cousin, Kulthum, or Kulthum, the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the sister of Lady Zainab, the younger sister of Lady Zainab. Between her and her sister Zainab, only a few months. Same thing with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Between them, only 10 months. Only 10 months, not even 1 year. Between the birth of Imam Hassan and the birth of Imam Hussein. 10 months. So she was married to her first cousin, Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. My friends, two ladies were very influential and instrumental on the day of Ashura. They were the biggest supporter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Number one was Zainab al-Kubra alayhi salam, as I mentioned last night. And the second lady was Kulthum, her sister and her sibling, who was also very important in her contribution, in her defense, and in presenting the cause of Imam Hussein to the masses. She was the right arm of her sister Zainab after the day of Ashura. Sister Zainab needed someone to help her out to bring the children together. The camp of Imam Hussein was scattered after the day of Ashura. In fact, there was no more camp. The camp was burnt down and the kids were running in the desert into all directions, and it was Zainab alayhi salam and Kalthum during that first night, the eve of the 11th, who gathered all those orphans, women, widows in one place, and Zainab stood on one side and she asked her sister Kalthum to stop, to stand on the other side to protect the camp, to protect those children and those women from the enemies. So she helped Lady Zainab alayhi salam in Karbala and outside Karbala on their trip to Damascus, to Kufa first, and then from Kufa to Damascus. That trip was very, very agonizing, then very painful, very difficult for those two ladies. When the caravan reached in Kufa, it was in such a terrible shape that the people of Kufa, most of them did not recognize the people in this caravan. They didn't recognize women and children. They did not know that this is the family of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So they felt sorry for them. For many days they have not eaten anything. So they started presenting and giving them with sadaqah. Kulthum says, فَبَدَأُوا يَتَصَدَّقُونَ عَلَيْنَا يُنَاوِلُونَنَا فَتَصَدَّقَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْخُبْزِ وَالتَّمْرِ. They're going to give them charity, which was food, which was bread and dates. فَكَانَتِ السَّيِّدَ كَلْثُومُ. History says, Lady Kalthum, she will take that back from the hands of those young children. And she says, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, inna as-sadaqata alayna muharrama. Oh, the people of Kufa, we cannot, we are the family of the Prophet. We can't take sadaqah, we cannot accept sadaqah. People were shocked. They were shocked that those children are hungry and this lady is taking the food. And then she says, we cannot accept sadaqah. So they asked her, who are you then? Why you are not able to take sadaqah? She says, we are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the caravan was about to enter Damascus, the leaders, the officers of the Umayyad army, they decided to further humiliate and disgrace the family of the Prophet. Because they were carrying the severed heads of Imam Hussein and his companions and his family with them, they decided to put the heads in the middle of the caravan. So people deliberately would look at the women and children of Imam Hussein. At that time again, Kalthum asked the leader of the Umayyad army that please, I urge you, I ask you, I beg you that you take the heads and keep them ahead of the caravan so people get busy watching the heads of Imam Hussein and his companion rather than staring at the family and women of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In Kufa, she gave a speech and Zainab alayhi salam gave a speech. And it is not easy, my friends. If you are not focused, if something happens to you, to your family, to your children, you cannot be focused. You cannot give a speech. You don't know what to say. You really don't know what to say. Those speakers, they know what I mean. When there is a tragedy in your life happening right before your eyes, you lose your loved ones, family members, children, you don't know what to say. You are confused, distraught. But those two ladies, Zainab alayhi salam and Kalthum, subhanallah, despite this huge tragedy that took place in Karbala, they gave the most powerful speech of their lives, in both in Kufa and in Damascus. People were watching them, listening to them. They told the people the truth of what happened in the land of Karbala, both in Kufa and in Damascus. And of course, the caravan was harassed throughout the way. Imam Zain al-Abidin, the only male in that caravan, the only adult male in that caravan, was unable to defend the caravan or himself because of his severe sickness. So Zainab and Umm Kulthum were the defenders, and they were constantly harassed and abused, physical abuse, verbal abuse, by those thugs who were sent with the caravan, the soldiers of Bani Umayyah. But they stood very, very bravely, strongly defending the integrity of Ahlul Bayt. They did not show any sign of weakness. Imam Hussein alayhi salam recited a prayers for them before his martyrdom and asked Allah to bestow strength and resilience on them, so they carried this mission successfully. And when the caravan returned to Medina, and Yazid had to return the caravan in Medina because he had no choice. Yazid could not keep the family of Imam Hussein in Kufa or in Damascus any longer, because he felt that the people of Sham, his own people, the people of his father who supported him and his father, they are turning against him because of the family of Imam Hussein. Because people are finding out about the truth. People who have been brainwashed for almost four decades by his father Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. People who thought whenever the name of Ali is mentioned, and you ask an average person in the street, who is Ali? Do you know who's Ali? They tell you Ali is a highway robber. The name of a highway robber. This is how Imam Ali was introduced by Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. And we see this today. We see it happening by some tyrants. Some tyrants, when they want to execute someone who's innocent, who's fighting for justice, who's fighting for human rights, they accuse him of being a criminal. They accuse him of being a terrorist. And then they hang him. They execute him. Exactly this is what happened during that time. When they wanted to persecute the family of Ahlul Bayt, they spread among the people that those are terrorists. Those are evil people. And people were brainwashed. Even until today, my friends, unfortunately, I say this just for you to know. Even until today, in some parts of Syria and Palestine, when they want to curse someone as a curse and a slander, they call him Baba Ali. Baba Hassan? Baba Hassan. Okay? This is considered a curse. Can you imagine? Baba Hassan means, of course, the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu al-Hassan. The Prophet used to call him Ya Abu al-Hassan. Abu al-Hassan is the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Until today, can you imagine? After 1400 years, this thing is happening. People are brainwashed. People are lost. When people become ignorant and they listen and they believe to the media, to the wrong media, to the wrong political establishment, to the tyrant. And I'm not surprised, even in America, the vast majority of the American people do not know the truth. Do not know what is happening in the Middle East. I read a survey today, 50% of the American people right now, they support a war against Iran. They support the sanctions against Iran, 50%. People do not know the truth. People are lost. Many people are naive. They are driven by two things: either being naive, ignorant, or prejudice. Prejudice plays a role. This is exactly the suffering of Ahlul Bayt in Kufa, in Damascus, in Iraq, in Medina, and elsewhere. And there were two females defending the truth: Zainab al-Kubra and Zainab al-Sughra. Zainab al-Kubra, bint Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Zainab al-Sughra, which is Umm Kulthum. They stood to defend to the last breath. They didn't give up. They didn't say, "We are women, we should not speak, I should stay at home, don't open my mouth." No. We have to do something. Doesn't matter you are male, female, young, old. You have to speak up. You have to speak up. And this is exactly what they did. Because this revolution is their revolution. And the founder of this revolution is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Imam Hussein. So they continued this path. So Yazid had to return the caravan from Damascus to Medina, and under the pressure of the people. Some of those people were in his courtyard who rebelled against him. Some of them said to him, قَبَّحَكَ اللَّهُ يَا يَزِيدُ تَقْتُلُ عِتْرَةَ النَّبِيِّينَ. May God darkens your face, Ya Yazid. You murder the family of the Prophet and you say, I am the successor to the Prophet. I am the commander of the faithfuls. I am Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you are murdering the family of the Prophet. So he decided it's best to take this family back to Medina. On the way to Medina, when the caravan approached Medina to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Zain al-Abidin asked someone in the caravan by the name of Bashir ibn Hadlam. He said to him, Ya Bashir, we are going to enter Medina soon, and I don't want people to look at my family, my aunts, my nieces, my cousins. So I want you to go ahead of this caravan and break the news and make people gather around the mosque of the Prophet and tell them the story. So Bashir came. Once he entered the outskirt of Medina, he was at the outskirt of the Medina, he started telling the people, Ya Ahle Yathrib, Ya Ahle Yathrib, O the people of Yathrib. So people come out of their homes. What's happening? What do you want to say? What do you have? He says, Al-Khabaru inda qabri Rasulillah. I'm going to tell you the news when you gather around the shrine of the Prophet. So people gathered. He says, In taza'tu al-Madinata min ahliha. Every household of Medina left their homes and they gathered in downtown Medina to see what is happening. So when they arrived there, I said, Ya Ahla Yathrib, la muqama lakum biha, qutil al-Husayn, fa'admu'i midraha. You don't have any more stability or peace in this city. I have very terrible, bad, heartbreaking news to you. Imam Hussein has been murdered with his children, with his companions. And Kulthum alayhi salam was the one who recited this poetry when she saw the walls of Medina and the dome of the grave of her father and the mosque of her grandfather Rasulullah. Medina tajaddina la taqbalina fabil ahzan wal hasarati jina. O the city of my grandfather, do not accept us, do not welcome us, because we are coming back with terrible news, with sad news. فبالحسرات, with sorrow and sadness. فبالحسرات والأحزان جينا. خرجنا منك بالأهلين جمعا. When we left you a few months ago, the family was together. Men were together with us, protecting us. رجعنا, now we are coming back. لا رجال ولا بنينا. no men and no children with us. Very sad moment. And the first thing they did with her sister is to come right away to the mosque of the Prophet. And they put their hands at the handle of the door, the knob, and they said, Ya Rasulallah, Assalamu alayka Ya Rasulallah. Very painful. Inni na'iyatun ilayka habibaka al-Husayn. I am giving you the news of the departure and the martyrdom of your sweetheart, Hussein alayhi salam. So she stayed in Medina, and she was very outspoken, and she would go from house to tell the people about the truth about Ashura. Bani Umayyah did not want the news to spread. They did not want to the people to know what happened. But Kulthum alayhi salam, through her shaja'ah, bravery, and her eloquence, balagha, she was telling the people. Until the governor of Medina, he placed on her what we call today restraining order, that you cannot leave your house. You must not leave your house, and you must sit there silent. Don't open your mouth. But she defied his order. And she told the people the story. And as a result of that, as a result of the awareness that took place after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein by his two sisters, Zainab alayhi salam and Kulthum, the following year there was a revolt in Medina. The people of Medina revolted. Thawratul Medina, if you read the history. And the incident is named Waqi'atul Harra in the city of Medina. The entire people of Medina revolted against the Umayyad regime, and the governor ran away from Medina for a few days. And then Yazid sent his army to crush that revolt, and they murdered thousands of people inside the city of Medina. And the graves of those martyrs, there is a special corner in Baqi'. If you go today, there is a special corner in Baqi', and that corner is called Shuhada'ul Harra, the martyrs of this revolt that took place 1 year after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Needless to say that the tragedy of Ashura left its deep, deep remarks on the hearts of these two ladies, Zainab alayhi salam and Kulthum. It's not easy. Yes, there is patience, there is faith, but we are human beings, my friends. We are human beings. We are not made of iron. We are made of blood and cells. So Lady Zainab died in the year 64, but Kulthum, who's younger than her, died in the year 62. Because of these traumas that they experienced in Karbala and the aftermath of Karbala. Many historians, the vast majority of them, believe that she died in Medina. She had fallen sick, and in the year 62, she died in Medina and she's buried in Baqi'. One or two historians believe that she is buried in Damascus. If you go to Damascus today, subhanAllah, the capital of the Umayyad, the capital of Bani Umayyah, search for the grave of Muawiyah, you don't find it. It is shut down. It's shut down, the grave. Search for the grave of Yazid, who was the ruler there. He's supposed to have a grave. No grave. Not a single grave of Bani Umayyah's dynasty. But go to every corner, there are graves for the family of the Prophet. And one of them, Zainab alayhi salam, Zainab al-Kubra, is in Zainabiyah, Sayyida Zainab, her maqam, south of Damascus. Sayyida Sukaina, there is Sayyida Kulthum and Sayyida Sukaina and others, they have a grave, a cemetery in Damascus, Maqbaratul Bab al-Saghir, in old Damascus, which has been attributed to them. And they have shrines there and people visit them there. And this is a miracle. God says they try to extinguish my word. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ, my light. But I will prove to you that yes, Hussein was murdered, but there is a corner for Hussein. There is a grave for Hussein. There is a banner for Imam Hussein. There is a landmark for Imam Hussein in every place. Even in the capital of Bani Umayyah, you go to the heart of Masjid Bani Umayyah, Masjid Bani Umayyah al-Kabir, there is a shrine for Ra'sul Hussein alayhi salam. People come there and pay tribute to Imam Hussein and his family. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al hujjah ibn al hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. مؤمنين, today there was a tragedy in the Lebanese community at 3:15 a.m. four of the young ones in their early 20s, they died in a car accident on 710 freeway, and all four of them are named Hussein. Their first name is Hussein, all four of them. In fact, the relative of one of them was sitting here last night. She was with us just last night, she was here. And so all those four are gone. And we pray that Allah bestows patience, endurance on their mothers, their sisters, their parents, their family members. It's not easy to lose four young ones. One of them was graduated just yesterday. He celebrated his graduation. Hussein Ali Saleh, one of those who was killed, his graduation was just yesterday. So they were celebrating his graduation. They came to Anaheim to have suhoor here in Anaheim on the way back to Bell. Allah wanted them to come back to him. So please join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And also tomorrow I'm going to visit their families. They live close to each other in Bell, the city of Bell. So I'm going to be there at 11 a.m. inshallah to visit these families. We spend 15 minutes in every house to give them condolences during this month of mercy, the month of Ramadan. If you want to join us, we have the address available. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات وإلى أرواح أخوتنا الذين فقدوا أرواحهم ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.